part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between, for a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes. Read between the lines of what you see. Look into the soul of reality. Open your mind. Look at the sign. Never look back at yesterday. Keep your gaze steady on the narrow way.
When terror groups have too many turnovers, when the United Nations condemns everything Israel, and when we start asking if aliens are really hanging out underground, you know you found the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, October 4th, 2024. Listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a friend. You can read the articles we talk about. Look at all the choices we give you. Or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or just grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who's torn between working from home and being interrupted by the kids, or working here at the church and being interrupted by us. And that's Pastor Mark, who doesn't really like to brag, but he can shake your hand and forget your name simultaneously. So, there you go.
Why are you airing my dirty laundry in front of everyone?
I don't think you're the only one, Pastor Mark. I hate to say it. All right. Before we get into our articles, and let's talk about a serious subject that is hitting more closer to home for us, maybe not where you're listening to this, but I'm sure you know about the effects of Hurricane Helene and the after effects there here in eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina.
Yeah, they're in desperate situations in North Carolina and in Tennessee, mostly in North Carolina, but and in Georgia, really, there's a lot of places that are really hurting right now. And just know there's a lot of organizations going in. The Calvary Chapels, obviously Samaritan's Purse is always one of the first ones in there, and this is their backyard. So I know they're greatly involved and right on top of it. There's also many Calvary Chapels that are going in. We have, I think, right now already working with some 40 to 45 different Calvaries that are headed this way, either coming in personally, sending money, doing whatever, taking teams in. We currently have a team in Asheville right now. We'll be seeing another team next week. There's four or five teams we've directed from other Calvaries toward Greenville. So a lot of stuff going on. But if you want to be a part of that, whether it be financially or donation-wise, then you can drop it off here at Calvary Chapel in Knoxville or Jefferson City, the Calvary Chapel in Jefferson City, Lakeway. And that's Pastor Steve or Pastor Paul Miller in the Tri-Cities area also is a drop-off point for those of you that are listening in the Tri-City area. And we're trying to coordinate all this to get these supplies in to the people that are that need them the most as quickly as possible. And there's even lists of the kind of supplies. You know, if you send canned goods, make sure they're the kind you can open by hand, the kind that have a little clip on top, because if they don't have a can opener, it doesn't do any good how many cans we send them. Things like bread, peanut butter, and jelly. These are things that last and can make keep people alive till things get back to normal. And they need a lot of gasoline. Also, if you're going into North Carolina, you're going to have to take some gasoline with you because you have to take enough in there to fill your tank up to come back out because the gas stations aren't even open in many areas. So just realize, you know, if you're going to go in there, you need to talk to people that are going in and know what's going on. If you want to be involved with Calvary, you can call. We'll tell you how to get more involved. But either way, you know, God's moving. And it's not just Calvary. A lot of churches, piles of churches are getting involved. That's just the things I know about because of our involvement. Of course, Samaritan's Purse. They're a great organization to call up if you want to go because they can supply you oftentimes a place to stay and even a lunch while you're doing it, which, you know, we can't really do through what we're doing. But either way, depending on what your availability is to do, the need is great. And obviously be praying. There are some people that are still kind of stranded that haven't even been found yet that are trapped, you know, up in areas where the roads have been broken off and the floods blocked them in. They're getting to them by helicopter. Sadly, many bodies that have not yet been recovered. I mean, it's really tragic. So be praying about how God would have you be involved and help. And I know that God's going to, the church is rising to the occasion as they always do.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our articles, Pastor Mark. And we will start over in Israel. And our first article comes from All Israel News. This one dated September 28th. Hezbollah chief Nasrallah confirmed dead after massive Israeli airstrike in Beirut. I think this is the news story that you had shared with our body this past Wednesday.
Yeah, and most people are aware of this. If they've been watching the news or keeping up, maybe some of you haven't. But Hassan Nasrallah, this guy's been a major world terrorist for a long, long time. He's put to death. He's responsible for the death of over 200 of our Marines when he blew up
in Beirut, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the same guy. And, of course, he's done this to Israel. Yeah. He was the top leader of the Iranian-funded, armed, and directed Hezbollah terrorists there in Lebanon, which we know is right now fighting with Israel, and he's now finally dead. A 64-year-old terror master was assassinated this last Friday. That is a week ago Friday, a week ago today, in the afternoon, in a massive Israeli airstrike on Hezbollah's underground headquarters in Beirut. His death was confirmed by Israel Defense Forces on Saturday morning and by Hezbollah later that afternoon. Greg, you know, it's interesting. I want to share with our listeners kind of what went on with that, because those that weren't here with us on Wednesday night, Netanyahu was speaking at the UN last Friday, and a part of it, they actually timed it, that would be kind of a ruse. I mean, he really came and did a real speech, and he was planned. It was a plan for him to be there. But he knew, and Israel knew, the leadership knew, that if Netanyahu came to the U.S. and was doing this address, that Hezbollah would feel safe. Okay, you know, Netanyahu's gone. They're probably not going to have any major strikes trying to take out the leadership right now. Let's kind of see what's going on. They knew they would probably be gathering into a bunker to watch the speech so they would know what Netanyahu was going to say and how they're going to respond and try to get more information. Well, they knew that. They planned that they would be doing that. And then right before they went in there, there was an operative that apparently was close enough to Nasrallah, and he didn't know he was an Israeli operative, that he shook his hand before he went into the bunker, and there was something, a substance, that this operative had on his hand that had some type of detection ability. And so when he went into the bunker, they were able to either by drone or satellite, I'm not sure how they read it, radio wave, I'm not sure how they did it, probably some metallic substance you couldn't see, I don't know. Technology is pretty amazing. And they were able to locate and identify that indeed Nasrallah was there because they found somebody that had that on their hand. And what had happened was he had gone in, and all of the other leaders of Hezbollah had gone in that were around him to watch the speech and to make plans about how to better attack Israel. And then Israel went in and dropped something like 25 bunker busters on this one little area. I mean, they just annihilated. And these bunker busters, I mean, they go deep, deep, deep down. These things are powerful. And they went deep into the ground and blasted all the bunker down there, killed them all. And it was just an amazing military strategy-wise and also carrying it out operationally, and even the ruse of them thinking they're safe now because he's in the States. A tremendous military victory in taking out their leadership. And again, the other two leaders right after that have already been killed as well, it appears. Another one maybe today. The third one, I think, was taken out today after just a few days. So who wants to be the next leader? Raise your hand. Or maybe keep your hands away from shaking hands or do whatever, because you're probably going to get blown up as well. So they've got them living in fear and in terror, as they should. Isn't it nice to see terrorists terrorized? Mm. I know my flesh shouldn't enjoy
that.
My flesh shouldn't enjoy that. I'd love to see them repent. I'd love to see them come to Christ. But when you see a terrorist terrorized, there's not a whole lot of sympathy there unless they're going to repent. And they have no intention of repenting, no desire of repenting. But again, it is a great day that Nasrallah has now been neutralized. The problem is you've got 100 Nasrallahs right after him, but again, they have a lot to think about, and they're being taken out systematically. And so, again, this is a supernatural thing that Israel's doing, Greg. No nation could do the things they're doing and carry it off like they are. I know that in the past there's been a little bit of pride in the Israeli military, and God's humbled them over the years. I hope they're not getting prideful again, because the successes
October 7th.
They're extraordinary. Even the missile attack with almost 200 cruise missiles the other day, nobody, not one Jew was killed. Not one. There's a video of one Palestinian in Jericho dying. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I saw that. That was pretty dramatic.
One that was taken out in the air fell on him. It obviously, he never knew anything. I mean, it was so, he was dead instantly. But still, there wasn't a single, the only thing they did was kill one of their own.
Yeah.
Waste, who knows how much money and how much of their military. That doesn't happen. You can't, if somebody shot 200 ballistic missiles at America, somebody's going to get impacted by that. But again, not one Jewish person died. This is truly, and the people in Israel, Greg, they see that it's supernatural. They see it. So God is now using obvious supernatural intervention in the nation of Israel, and it's just a wonderful thing. By the way, I will say this, because I know there's rumors out there, fake news basically saying that some of the missiles that they shot hit a military airbase and destroyed like 20-some military jets and all this nonsense. That's fake news. That is propaganda coming out of Iran. There was some damage done. There was a military base hit, and some damage was done. I don't know to what extent, but I've now verified that that is fake news. There were no military jets destroyed. They basically had zero success of doing anything. Some cows and chickens were killed in the last attack before this one. Nothing happened on this one. As a matter of fact, Greg, one of the missiles they showed smashed into the ground in this building and didn't even go off. And they were taking pictures of the tail end of it sticking up out of the ground. So God just kind of diffused them, sent them out into the middle of nowhere. I mean, total confusion of the enemy. I love it. It's exactly what God has done throughout history for the nation of Israel in their biblical battles. And although they don't know God right now, God is defending him as though they did, because they're going to be coming to the Lord soon as God pours out his spirit on them sometime here in the future. So tremendous, tremendous miracles going on. You're living in biblical days. It's all around us.
All right, our next article, Pastor Mark, comes from Breitbart.com, dated September 30th. The Third Lebanon War begins. Israel launches ground offensive.
Yeah, now before I read this, let me tell our listeners why they're doing this. This is needed. In the north, when Israel became a nation back in 1948, the UN decided that no one 30 miles above Israel's border could live. It was supposed to be a no-live zone, empty, nothing there. 30-mile buffer zone up to what they call the Latani River in Lebanon. And why did they do this? Because they realized if you've got your enemies living right on your border and you live right there, where you're going to be fighting, dodging just bullets every day, much less if you even some distance rockets every day. So they did that. Well, again, the terrorists don't care. They don't care what anybody says. So they moved in there. And Israel, of course, has so much pressure from the world not to do anything that they kind of got built up and they kind of had to allow it, or did allow it. And then when the war broke out with Gaza, they started firing all these rockets into that upper northern Israel neighborhoods. Some 80,000 people had to move out and move further down. They're living in hotels and other places right now with friends and all that. And they had to leave their homes because you're going to get fired upon on a regular basis. Well, no country can sustain that, nor should they. They shouldn't allow it. So Israel said, look, we're only going to give so much time, and then we're doing a ground invasion in that area to push back Hezbollah and get our buffer zone so our people can come home. That's what this is. They're pushing them back now. This is a major turn of events in the last couple of days. A ground invasion. I mean, this is going to be where, again, you're going to see the victory begin to take place in even greater measure, because now they're going to push them back, reestablish their homes, and they can finish the rest of the campaign by air of taking out Hezbollah terrorists. So again, as you said, it's officially begun, according to Israel's Army Radio. As the IDF ground forces crossed into Lebanon early Tuesday morning to remove Hezbollah outposts that threaten Israeli communities, the IDF apparently crossed into Lebanon at the finger or panhandle of Israel's Galilee region near the town of Matula. And I've been up to Matula. I think you may have been there, Greg. It's at the very top of Israel, which was Israel's northernmost town until the capture and annexation of the Golan Heights. In the State Department, the IDF's statements was this, rather. In accordance with the decision of the political echelon, A few hours ago, the IDF began limited, localized, and targeted ground raids based on precise intelligence against Hezbollah and their targets, their terrorist targets, and infrastructure in southern Lebanon. These targets are located in villages close to the border and pose an immediate threat to the Israeli communities in northern Israel. Absolutely. The IDF is continuing to operate to achieve the goals of the war and is doing everything necessary to defend the citizens, the citizens of Israel and return the citizens of northern Israel to their homes. So it's underway. Can't expect any, you wouldn't ask anything less of your government. It needs to be done. And so I think we're going to see very soon that buffer zone back in place. And, Greg, I think this is kind of the beginning of the end for Hezbollah. With their leadership taken out, the land reestablished, I wouldn't be surprised. Only God knows. The last time they had a battle up there, it lasted 2 years. But I really think that by the end of the year, I think we could see this come to a close because it has been so amazing, so supernatural. Now they're taking the land to give that buffer zone. I wouldn't be surprised if this is settled by the end of the year.
Now, you might have shared this earlier, but unlike the how Israel was shocked at the elaborateness of the tunnel system that they discovered in Gaza,
yes,
they took that understanding and did they not do reconnaissance for tunnels north in Lebanon?
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, Greg, because actually we don't have an article on that, and we probably should have had one in here. Let me make a comment on that.
Yeah,
yes,
please do.
They are not only finding tunnels in northern Israel and up into Lebanon, Greg, these tunnels have come all the way down and were coming up inside of Israeli towns.
Oh.
Had they not found them and done this when this happened?
Yes.
There would have been a flood of terrorists going right into people's homes and neighbors right there on top and did the same thing they did October 7th.
Yes.
And they couldn't have stopped them. God timed it, sent the military in. They found them. They're filling them up with concrete. You'll see they have loads and loads. I don't know why they're not blowing them up this time. Maybe there's homes around. I don't know.
That could be.
And maybe they'll blow some up, but there's rows and rows of cement trucks going in right now that are just filling all those things up, and they had them going into their towns. This would have been another horrific October 7th type situation. God has spared them, and again, you see the hand of the Lord involved once again. Truly amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Our last article in the Israel category comes from the Times of Israel. This dated October 1st. The U.S. says it will work with Israel on severe consequences for Iran firing 180 missiles. Really?
Yeah, well, again, they are no doubt working with Israel, but Greg, my guess is they're working to squelch.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because that's what they're saying. It was amazing to me when all this happened. The leaders of the world came out, including America, and said, we condemn this attack by Iran, but the fighting must stop. There must be a secret. In other words, okay, now Israel, you got attacked, but don't do anything.
You're right.
Sorry, not going to fly.
Yeah.
Iran's preliminary Revolutionary Guard says 90% of the missiles it launched against Israel hit their targets successfully. This is such a lie. Let me talk about this. We talked about the propaganda
pride
of saying that they destroyed jets. Yeah. They have to do this. Look, they have to tell their people, we are winning. We are defeating the enemy. It's lies and it's propaganda. And for them to say 90% of their missiles, look, if 90% of their missiles hit their targets successfully, they were shooting for the desert, the ocean, empty places. It did nothing. So if they hit their target, you know, maybe it was the guy that they killed in Jericho. I don't know. But it's a lie. It's just propaganda, which, again, is what they have to do to save face. The statement broadcast on the state TV claims the attack targeted air and radar bases, as well as security apparatus that planned the killing of senior Hamas and Hezbollah figures. It says Iran has a right to defend itself under international regulations. Iran has a right to defend itself. Unbelievable. They attack, they destroy, and then when you fight back, we have a right to defend ourselves. No, you don't. You're not defending yourself. You're the attacker. This kind of stuff, again,
I know, drives you crazy.
Me nuts. The TV station shows footage of missiles being launched in the darkness from unidentified locations in Iran. And truly, they were launched from the darkness, spiritual darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the hundreds of missiles, the only injuries in Israel were two people who were lightly wounded by shrapnel in Tel Aviv. A Palestinian man was killed by shrapnel near Jericho. We talked about that a moment ago. Notice this in the article. EU condemns the Iranian attack and calls for an immediate ceasefire across the region. Okay, now, Israel, you got attacked, so just nobody do anything. Right, that's very convenient. The European Union condemned in the strongest terms, ooh, these words have great power,
yes,
an Iranian ballistic missile attack on Israel and calls for an immediate ceasefire. The dangerous cycle, listen to what they say.
Yes.
This is so clear. Don't fight. Israel, you should not strike back. You should not defend yourself. Here, look at this. The dangerous cycle of attacks and retaliation. In other words, defending themselves, Israel, risk the spiraling out of control. EU Foreign Chief Joseph Borrell posted on X, an immediate ceasefire across the region is needed. Yeah, of course. Now, if Israel was to attack today, they wouldn't say an immediate ceasefire. They would say, Iran needs to strike back. It's so hypocritical. I'm glad that Netanyahu has made up his mind and is not listening to them, because this is God doing this. God is dealing with these terrorists, and God's going to deal with them. And, Greg, as I mentioned to our body on Wednesday night, it looks like by the time they finish up with Hezbollah, pretty much Hamas is going to be done in Gaza. They've got some targets to hit in Syria, but they can actually begin to say peace and safety. All of our borders are now secure. And remember, the Bible says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. It could be a hint that may be referring to the Great Tribulation. Okay, I'll give that. But it also could be a hint toward the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, because, again, they're going to feel like they're fine, and all of a sudden Russia's going to move in on them. Either way, we need to keep our eye on it, because their guard's going to be down. They're going to be surprised, and God's going to intervene and protect them, again, very supernaturally, and the nation's going to turn to Christ.
The only thing that would perplex me about that, Pastor Mark, having that link to Ezekiel, is the fact that in Ezekiel, it's those the young lions, those on the coastlands, that, you know, basically the rest of the world is asking, you know, Russia, so what are you doing? Are you coming in to take the spoils? So clearly there's going to be some sort of knowledge of what's happening. I don't know what the time would be.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, it still could be quick. Yeah. I mean, maybe both could be true.
Yeah, well,
but
my thought was, like I said, the peace and safety thing could happen, and then all that stuff take place. That's what I was talking about. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Either way, I know this. They're already saying they want to have peace and safety on all their borders and security. Yeah. And so
Before we go into our One World Government, Pastor Mark, let me just ask you a question regarding for people that might be hearing this, and you've explained yourself in terms of your excitement in Israel's enemies being defeated because of what they represent. But when we look at the targeted taking out of these leaders, and some people might look at that as assassination or whatever they might say, but my mind goes back to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh reached a certain point where repentance in his own heart was no longer an option. Right. And God came alongside him and solidified his very own decision.
That's
not
right.
That God turned him against the Jews,
right,
you know, that were in his land, but that God just came alongside and solidified and confirmed the hardness of his heart.
That's right.
Where there was no going back. Can you say that that would be the same for Nasrallah and all these other people that for their entire lives have been devoted to the destruction of Israel?
I would say at some point, yes, Greg, at some point for everyone, had each one of them reached that point, only God knows. But I do know that the Bible says that if you continue to harden your heart and you continue to reject the truth of God, at some point God will agree with your choice. And that's where he solidifies the heart. That's what the word means there in the Hebrew with Pharaoh. It means that God came alongside Pharaoh and said, okay, that's really what you want. You're refusing to repent. All right, I'm going to solidify it. So it was your choice, Pharaoh, but now I'm going to make it to where you can't get out of it. It's too late. So God does give time up to a point to repent. Everyone, Nasrallah and everyone else would have had time to repent.
Right.
But at some point he does solidify. Whether or not they were all that place, I would suspect that Nasrallah was, and some of these guys that have done it this long, only God knows. Some of the newer recruits, I don't know. But either way, God says that if you attack Israel, you're attacking him. And that's always a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
And they're seeing the consequences of that.
Absolutely.
You may be a businessman or some high degree.
Yes, 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 yes.
They may call you doctor. They may call
all right. Now on to some One World Government news. This is from the blog of Google. How convenient. This is dated September 12th. A little bit older, but still, it's still relevant because this is how Google's doing you a solid. How Google is building digital ID solutions that protect user privacy.
Well, how nice of them.
Is that the same as saying, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's like a criminal moving in your house and going, look, I just want to watch your step for you while you're away, okay? This is so important, Greg, when we talk about the mark of the beast. The technology is in place. It's ready to explode at any moment, and it's going to be through things. These are kind of the opening steps of Google digital IDs. They're trying to also make digital IDs seem friendly. They're your friend. They're your buddy. They're your pal. They're going to help you. And what the problem is, once everybody goes toward the digital ID, now they can take us over and control us. So it's being presented as something wonderful. It's going to be something that we know from the Bible is going to be horrific. It says, imagine starting a vacation like this. You arrive at the airport and breeze through the security by tapping your phone to a reader, scanning your boarding pass and ID. While waiting to board, you grab a drink at the airport bar, tapping your phone to prove your age. When you arrive at your destination, you find your rental car and leave the lot without stopping for an ID person ID check. For an in-person, rather, ID check, because you already provided the necessary information to your rental car app. You check into your hotel online. Your key is issued straight to your digital wallet. You do all that is with you, all that's with your phone. No physical wallet required. See, that sounds great. I have to admit.
Just purely on the technology alone, it sounds totally cool.
If I could just do that and live life, that's awesome. And listen, if you tell me I can put that under my skin and I don't know God, it already gets under my skin. I have to do all the stuff that they make you do. But if they can put something under somebody's skin, you go, I just walk by and it just does everything for me. Listen, that is a convenience that anybody who didn't know the Bible would love to have. The problem is when you know the Bible, it is a setup by Satan to take control of you and condemn your soul. It goes on and says, this may be futuristic, but it could be reality soon. I'm not saying if you get the Google app that does that, you're condemned. You're not. That's not the mark of the beast.
Right.
But it's leading to it. It says, in fact, today, people with select U.S. state-issued IDs are able to present their ID in Google Wallet to go through TSA checkpoints in dozens of airports. Now, so the bottom line is it's already underway. This is the beginning of the mark of the beast, technology and people accepting. It's happening with Google right now.
Well, the big takeaway for me, Pastor Mark, in this article, and what I want to encourage our listeners about is not so much, that thinking that this is the mark of the beast, but it isn't. But here's what this is doing. It's conditioning people to accept the mark of the beast.
Absolutely.
That's the bigger issue here, not the technology itself, but conditioning people to accept more of a oneness with technology.
Getting excited about it. Think about it. I mean, really, if you literally could live your life without any type of needs for identification or money or wallets, you just could get up and go and just take out the door. Greg, that's freedom.
Yeah.
But it's freedom that's going to lead to a bondage that will be eternal bondage and eternal condemnation eventually when it culminates in the mark of the beast. You can see this. It is a genius deception by Satan.
Very genius.
And the world's going to take it wholesale.
You talk about the proverbial frog being slowly boiled in the pot of water as the temperature slowly turns up. That's exactly what's happening with this technology and getting people ready for the mark.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing. But it's even more than that. Imagine that the frog wanted to be boiled because most people are going to want to be able to do this. So
that's
they're getting
true.
Boiled, but they also want to be boiled. And it's
All right, that's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, our next article comes from Israel 365 News. This is dated September 27th. You talk about a real good example of Isaiah 5:20, woe to those that call evil good and good evil. The UN votes to ethnically cleanse Jerusalem of Jews, quote unquote, following in the footsteps of the king of Sodom.
Unbelievable. I mean, how do you ethnically cleanse an area where everybody there is that ethnicity and it's their land? I mean, yeah, you can go take them out, but I'm saying they're acting like that it's not theirs and they don't belong there. It's theirs. They're Jews. This is Jerusalem.
Is this Yosemite Sam just getting, all upset?
Again, it's ridiculous. Let me read some of this. Last week, the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution that would ethnically cleanse Jerusalem's old city and the biblical heartland in an attempt to erase the biblical and historical connections that tie the Jewish people to their eternal capital and the site of the temples. The resolution was the first that the state of Palestine filed after being granted unprecedented privileges for a non-UN member earlier this year and was sponsored by more than 40 countries. 124 nations supported the resolution, only 14 nations opposed and 43 abstained. Look at this. What they did was, Greg, they created a nation that doesn't exist. There is no state of Palestine. No one in the world recognizes that. It doesn't exist. But the UN just said, okay, we're going to just make it up. So we're going to say, yep, there's a state of Palestine. And so here in the UN, you officially exist. You have no borders. You have no real money. You have no government running you, but you exist. So they created it. And then the non-existent Palestinian state they created, then introduced this resolution. Well, now that we're here, but we're not here because we don't exist, we want to kill everybody that is there that does exist, so now we can go in and be a nation and take them over. Yeah, we like that idea. You guys are already being innovative. You're so clever. We vote for that. And you see 40 countries voting for it, 124 supporting the resolution. It came to bolster the advisory opinion by the International Court. Oh, and they're really something. They're a mess.
International Kangaroo Court.
Yes, International Court of Justice. Oxymoron for a name, made in July, which declared Israel's presence to be illegal in any area over 1949, the armistice line. So I don't even know what to say. The resolution also called for the IDF to withdraw entirely within 12 months from the occupied Palestinian territory. There is no occupied Palestinian territory because there is no Palestinian territory. It's the nation of Israel, and the Jews have come home by the hand and command of God. All right, let me go on.
Okay.
Which includes Judea and Samaria, eastern Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip. This includes a withdrawal from all airspace and maritime space. Not going to happen. The resolution is not enforceable. It's also wrong. But it can be used in legal proceedings against Israel, like everything can. It is expected that the Palestinians will present the resolution to the UN Security Council, whose decisions are binding. But it is hoped that the U.S. will use it to its veto power to quash the resolution. Danny Dannon, Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, called it a shameful decision that backs the Palestinians Authority diplomatic terrorism. It is. He added that the General Assembly continues to dance to the music of the Palestinian Authority, which backs the Hamas murders. It's exactly right. It's, again, this is like, let me use another example. Again, it's like somebody who hates you and wants to kill you moving into your home and saying, guess what? It's our home, not yours. And by the way, we've now voted to kick you out, so you've got to go out and we're going to try to kill you. Get out of my house.
And it's backdooring the approval of October 7th.
You're exactly right, Greg. It's approving everything. What you did on October 7th was effective.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to back you up and make it even more effective. It is like, I mean, we were talking about it before the broadcast began, Greg. The injustices right now in the world are overwhelmingly angering. But again, we have to go back to remember the greatest injustice of all time was Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, the God of the universe, the one who never sinned and never did anything wrong, being abused, beaten, rejected, hung on a cross, and yet he still said, you know what, if they'll repent, I'll receive them. So we have to accept these injustices for now. We pray that everyone repents, and those that don't, we can rest assured one day they will stand before the God of the universe, and they will face the judgment that they didn't allow the blood to take away on the cross, and nobody gets away with anything. We just have to wait, be patient, lead as many as we can to the Lord, and know that one day there's going to be rejoicing and saying, God, you made everything right, and there's going to be peace in our soul.
Yeah, amen. Well, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville, a weekly radio broadcast that will go through the digital metamorphosis and become podcast episode number 331. And that will be available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
All right. Well, Pastor Mark and I are having our own broadcast that you can't hear.
Behind the scenes, except for when I forget to hit my button.
That's right. Yes. Okay, our first question. It comes from Matthew, and his question is regarding the bride of Christ. And he says the following: the Bible says that those saved prior to the rapture are considered the bride of Christ and will partake of the wedding supper of the Lamb in heaven during the Great Tribulation. Will those saved during the tribulation still be considered the bride of Christ? If so, will there be another feast for them? If not, will they be viewed differently in the kingdom than those saved before the rapture? Also, will those who die for their faith during the Great Tribulation receive the martyr's crown in heaven, the same as those martyred before the rapture?
Yeah, let me answer the very last one first, because I want to spend some more time on the other. I do believe that you'll still get your reward for being a martyr. There'll be that for standing for your faith. There'll be that reward and that crown. It's hard to nail down a verse and say it for sure, but I think the principle in Scripture, yes, is you're going to be rewarded for giving your life, and whether it's before or after the rapture, because you still have to make the stand. You still have to say, you know what, I'm willing to die for Christ, and there's going to be a special reward for that. In whatever form or fashion it comes, I do believe there will be a reward. I think we see that principle in Scripture. Now getting to this whole issue, this is a very great question, Matthew, and I'm going to say, first of all, I'm going to say this, we really don't know for sure. I don't know that anybody can find scripture for you that can clearly lay out whether or not it's going to be just a late arrival of the bride or it's going to be a different category. But I will say this. Most that I've read, the scholars I've run across on this issue, and I didn't go out and do some big study before the show, but I've read over the years and come across this issue. They pretty much across the board, again, these are just men, I realize that, but and I tend to agree with this, there seems to be some different category for those saved after the rapture. And here's why. You have, like as you said, you have the bride of Christ, and they're taken. And you have the wedding supper of the Lamb and the wedding ceremony. And I heard someone say the other day, well, the wedding ceremony happens at the very end, so maybe they're joined in with that. But in the Jewish traditional wedding, you were married first. At the first of the seven-day celebration, it was a seven-day celebration, you were married first, and then you celebrated 7 days after you were married. So if God follows that same pattern, which I think he gives us pictures to do, I believe he's going to do that, we will go to heaven, we will be officially married to the Lord. Then we'll begin to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. So the bride will be there. And I get the question, well, if the bride's there, how do you add more bride later? You know, your bride, part of your bride can't show up late to the ceremony and kind of join into the body, right? They're either there for the ceremony or they're not. And that's why he asked, will there be another ceremony? I really don't know. I know that the bride will be married and will be official when the Lord gets us. Then I know there's another group of people that get saved and very possibly could be a different category. Here's the two schools of thought that I've heard. The wife of Christ, who are the Jews, and the bride of Christ, who is us, and those that are saved afterwards, all three groupings, although they're different, will come together as one, and somehow we'll just be all married to the Lord in heaven. That may very well be. The other school of thought that I know that is out there is, no, there's three different categories. You have the wife of Christ, who's now restored, because remember, he's going to pour his spirit out on the Jews. They're still going to be here and be saved afterwards. So you have the wife of Christ that's now taken back because she repented, and now they've been restored as a nation. You have the bride of Christ. You know, it's almost like the wife married to the father and the bride to the son type thing. You know, I don't want to get weird on that theologically, but yeah, I'm saying.
Trying to make it make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other categories, we don't know. These guys that you say that, where do they fit in? So either way, it's either going to be three separate groupings that are joined as one, because we're all going to be one with the Lord in heaven, or there's going to be just this one grouping, even though it comes in three different groups at three different times. I know that doesn't really answer your question, Matthew, but really the Bible just doesn't clearly lay out what the categories are going to be. All I know is this. I'm glad I'm his bride. I'm glad I'm going to be there as the bride of Christ. Yes. And I'll put it this way. I am more than happy to welcome late comers into the kingdom and be a part of the bride. However, God, if he wants to blend them in, I'm more than happy to see the Jews that get saved blended into that as well. There's no mind type thing. We all belong to him, and he's our savior. And so either however he does it, we're going to all be very thrilled.
I wonder if we can apply the parable of the worker that Jesus gave when he said, you know, at the beginning of the day to work for X amount of wages.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the guys that just only worked maybe an hour or two versus the people that worked 8 hours got the same amount of money.
That's right.
It's almost that same type of...
You're right, Greg. It has that same feel. It's like the Lord is just good, and he's going to blend us all together in him. I know we're all going to be one in God in the kingdom.
Yeah.
How it's going to be broken down in different categories, or if it's going to be, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Ellie, and she says, this is really good too. I know the Antichrist comes on the scene after the one world government is already in place. That's true. And by the time he comes on the scene, the church is gone. So could or will the church see the one world government come into place?
Greg, I think we very well will.
I think we're already seeing, as you would say, the headwinds of it.
Yeah, whether or not it will be officially pronounced as these conglomerates together or whether or not it's happening behind the scenes, I do believe, look, the 10 toes in the vision of Daniel, these kingdoms, they have to be in place for the Antichrist to come in and take three of them down and take power. So whether or not it's going to be the world is going to know as a whole they're in power or whether or not it's been established behind the scenes and they're about to introduce it as they take over with digital IDs, digital money, whatever the case might be. I do believe that world government is going to be in place right around the rapture. I think they have to be. I think it's being formulated now. I wouldn't be surprised, Greg, if the mold is already in place and they're waiting for the right signal from the right guy.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about when I went to Rome here this last couple of weeks ago, they're redoing Rome for the Vatican is having Rome redone. The buildings and all the Vatican things are being, all the marble whitened up, like beautified like it used to be, in honor of, you know, the Jubilee year there in Rome. And it was this weirdest feeling. It almost felt like somebody was getting ready for somebody very important to show up. It felt like they're rolling out the red carpet for someone who's going to be really, really important. And I'm thinking, it looks like Satan is getting Rome ready for the revived Roman Empire and him to be able to inhabit the Antichrist and rule over the earth. And he wants it looking good. When I come there, you kids better have that place cleaned up.
Yeah.
It's really weird, but it's really cool in another way. And so, yes, I do believe we could see the one world government in place.
Yeah.
If only very briefly, but if not, it's going to be a simultaneous thing, Greg, where if we're taking out the model's already there, and because this world cataclysm takes place with whatever the rapture is going to be, suddenly they go, boom, well, now we have to take over, and here's the world government, and we're all in place, and that's when it happens, and the Antichrist comes on, boom, and it takes over.
Yeah. And, you know, and Elliot, it's good to remember, too, that the church was birthed in the midst of a one world government. The original one world government of Rome, that's when the church was birthed. It was almost as if God was saying, you think that's global unity? Let me show you true unity. And he shows the true unity through him.
Yeah.
And now the revived Roman Empire coming together. Oh, well, we're going to come together as one to solve our all problems. And then he's going to be like, you want to know what you want to do that? Go ahead. I'm taking my true unity away.
Yeah.
And so, boom, now the rapture of the church happens.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess to sum it up, I would say, yes, I think it's very possible we could see this world system and these 10 kingdoms or regions broken up into that power. We could see that before the rapture takes place. But again, it depends on how instantly it happens. But yeah, great question. And I think we're close to it.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Wesley. And his question is regarding weathering patterns. He says, I've been thinking about the weather and wildfires lately in light of some of the things I've heard and read about government research, from the Maui fire to the most recent hurricane. If it's true that fires have been started by lasers from space, could this tie into the Antichrist calling down fire from heaven? Could all of the storms and hurricanes be caused, whether accidentally or purposefully, by all the admitted weather manipulation? And if purposeful, to what end?
Yeah, again, another great question from our listeners here. There's several things to hit on here. Let me just say, it used to be that just a few years back, they considered controlling weather patterns as conspiracy type things. But now they've actually come out and admitted, China, as well as even here in the United States, that the government does have a limited ability to actually affect certain weather patterns. There's a science behind it, and yes, it is legitimate. So whether or not it had anything to do with Maui, whether or not it had anything to do with what happened here recently, we don't know. But there is some ability there to do that. And again, when it comes to the lasers, that also does have some validity. As a matter of fact, Greg, it was interesting. Running across some information today that I didn't know about Elon Musk and his whole thing, I didn't realize, first of all, Israel in the news, they're about to employ next year their new laser system that can destroy missiles coming in. So they have multi-layers. They have the Iron Dome, which covers a certain distance right above ground. Then they have what they call David's Sling, which goes a little bit higher. It's kind of like intermediate. And then they have their intercontinental ballistic, I forget the name right off the bat, but it's the highest layer that gets them when they're coming in. And they just in the news I was just reading today, they're about to introduce their fourth layer, which is literally lasers that actually are effective enough, sharp enough that to burn and explode missiles coming in. So we are now to laser technology. That is true. Israel's going to be the first one to employ it, or at least they're the first ones talking about employing it. And that's in the news today. So if you go in the news, you may be able to find that if you're a news buff. It's out there. So why do I say that? Because you asked, is it possible that you could actually start a fire from heaven by lasers, by satellite? Well, the answer is yes, you could. Now, whether or not that had anything to do with Maui, I don't know. But I do know that the technology is in place now, and it's either in place or about to be in place, because Israel's openly talking about it as one of their, and matter of fact, they've even done some demonstrations showing how it's done. So it's just basically very a centralized heat source that causes fire. And so, yes, that could be a possibility. Again, I don't know the relation to Maui, but certainly we do know that's a possibility. Now, as far as the Antichrist calling down fire from heaven, I'd never thought about that. I guess that is a possibility. It's interesting. It says he will have they will see him call down fire from heaven. And it also says he'll be doing lying signs and wonders. Now, I do know in Scripture, he does have the ability to cause lightning when God allows it. And where do we see that? Job. God gave him permission to strike Job and strike his flocks. And it says lightning.
That was weather related.
It says lightning came from heaven and burned up the flocks of Job. Well, that was directly attributed to Satan. So Satan does have the power to bring real lightning. The kind you see, boom, there it is. He can really do that when God allows him. And we see that from the book of Job. So I don't think he needs lasers, Wesley, to pull this one off. He can literally do it. And it'll probably be much more effective if he made real lightning come down rather than lasers. So could he use lasers? Theoretically, yes. But my guess is he'll use real lightning because he does have the ability and God's going to let him.
And that will give him the limited glory he's looking for.
Well, it's much more impressive.
Yes.
You know, if you say, oh, that could be a satellite. Well, who cares about that?
Yeah.
No, if he's kind of saying lightning beam and boom, it hits. That's
we're worshiping him.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Now, but Greg, I want to make one other comment about I hope that answers your question, Wesley. I'm looking at it from some of those different breaking down the question there. But I do want to give some more information that I recently learned about Elon Musk and the Starlink thing. That's pretty amazing. You know, the whole point behind the Starlink thing was, again, so that man could get to Mars. And a lot of people don't know that. The Starlink is it's a link to the stars. So I Starlink. And they believe that eventually the Earth will be uninhabitable, so we're going to have to settle somewhere else. And that's why Elon Musk and others used to talk about living on Mars, and we kind of made fun of him, like, who wants to live on Mars? I mean, you know, what do you eat, Mars bars? I mean, it's like, yeah, how long can you be there? It's like, it's horrible. But if there's nowhere to live, you could do it. But the idea behind Starlink is threefold. They're wanting a complete system around the Earth that does it. The next project is to put them around the moon, and the next project is to put them around Mars. And the reason being is lasers travel immediate. There's no delay with laser to a degree. So what they're hoping to be able to do is you could literally communicate between Mars and the Earth with this intermediate Starlink, being the moon, that would link all this together. So you'd have these lasers, and it's not lasers for destruction like we're talking about here, but it made me think of it when I read this. It's lasers for communication. And so you'd be able to communicate back and forth just almost instantly between Mars and, because Mars would go to the moon to us, us to the moon to Mars, et cetera. And you have this instantaneous communication. Again, they talk about Starlink. What's so amazing about it is the instantaneous ability of it to drive your automated car. You know, one of the problems right now we have with the automated cars, is the signal. It can't always get the signal to turn left or right or whatever quick enough. They're saying lasers can do that. So the Starlink, again, brings these lasers on to where you all this immediate communication back and forth. So lasers are already, the technology is not only there to actually be used militarily or to start a fire, whatever the case might be, but the technology is there in communication with lasers, which is the whole mindset behind the three layers of the Starlink project. Their long-term goal is to have them circling Earth, the moon, and the stars and linking the stars, hence Starlink, and having this immediate communication. And they're even saying things like, if your job was to be on Mars, then you could still work from home on your computer and send it straight to the office and be like from Mars working on your computer the same way you're doing it here. But it's laser technology that makes it go fast enough to communicate.
Talk about remote commuting.
Is this wild or what?
Now, let's make sure we answer Wesley's last question.
What did I leave out?
That's okay. He's basically asking if this weather manipulation is purposeful, to what end is its purpose?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Again,
I know that the weather manipulation they're admitting to is very purposeful, and they're saying it's being used for the good. Uh-huh. If places need rain, they can have rain. If places need this. So, yes, they are admitting they're using it manipulatively for good. But as we know, anything that can be used for good can also be used for evil. Is any of it being used for evil? Has any of it been used for evil? I can't answer that. Could it be in the future? I would say absolutely, because anytime you give man, it's like the internet's a great tool for good, but it's also a great tool for evil. So, yes, I do believe you could see manipulation by these types of things in the future. What's been done so far, I don't know. Could the Antichrist use it? I think he probably would for certain means to control the world. But again, I think you're going to see a lot of supernatural things that he does that are going to be much more impacting, because that's his desire and his goal into having the world worship him.
Okay.
All right, as we take a look at growing anti-Semitism, our story this week comes from All Israel News, dated September 26th. They're coming over here to the United States to find FBI data indicating anti-Jewish hate crimes increased by 63% in the year 2023.
Yeah, I almost worry about crying wolf. We get these things regular. But again, these numbers, Greg, are so exponential now. It's like you almost have to talk about it. I mean, a 63% increase in 2023. What has happened in 2024? But we don't have the info in yet.
Yep.
Again, according to crime statistics released by the FBI on Monday, 63% more incidents of single-biased anti-Jewish hate crimes occurred in 2023 than in 2022. I wonder what it is now. This is the highest number of anti-Jewish crimes reported since the FBI started collecting data in 1991. The Anti-Defamation League noted that despite Jews constituting only 2% of the U.S. population, the anti-Jewish hate crimes comprised 15% of all hate crimes and 68% of all reported religion-based hate crimes in 2023, which is consistent with patterns from prior years. Here's the bottom line. The Bible says that it's coming to a point where the entire world is going to hate the Jews. We're watching it happen, Greg. The Bible is being fulfilled right before our eyes. The Jewish hatred is growing exponentially by the moment. And again, it's all demonic. It's all demonic. Don't fall into that. Listen, I know you say, well, you're talking to the church. Yeah, we have unbelievers that listen to this broadcast. I know you're out there listening, but we also have a lot of believers that listen, and mostly believers. But I'm watching many believers within the church get pulled into this deception to be anti-Jewish and try to blame the Jews because the Jews have some bad people in their ranks. Of course they do. They're unsaved. I mean, I don't expect them to have good people, have everybody good in their ranks. They've got some that are, you know, that are good people. But again, I'm not saying there's a lot of Jews who have a good intentions and good heart. I think the majority. But you're going to have some that have bad intentions, like in any people group, because they're sinners and they need Christ. But don't get pulled into this Jewish hatred and this anti-Semitism, because God has promised those who bless Israel, I'll bless, and those who curse Israel, I'll curse. You need to be on the side of God's blessing, not on the side of God's cursing. And they're going to be saved in the last days. They are future brothers and sisters in Christ. Start loving them now.
Okay. All right, let's look at some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from theblaze.com, dated September 30th. The burning question after Hurricane Helene destroys southern Appalachia's forgotten communities.
Yeah, we mentioned this earlier. That's the thing. They're not going in and giving the help that these people need. And what they're saying is they've given all the money to the illegal immigrants, to those that have come in, all these things where they give them like $5,000 credit cards, free hotels, gasoline, cars, phones. They said, we used up all the FEMA money getting all them settled, and now the Americans need it. We don't have anything to give the Americans. I can't believe they're admitting that, first of all. I'm not going, why are you admitting that?
That's all what I was talking about earlier, where it's just out in the open.
Yeah, and now what they're saying is we just don't have any money to help these guys, so it's their excuse now not to help them. I'm not saying they're not giving any help, but it's going to be up to us, really up to the church and the American people. It says, what made Helene unusual compared to previous hurricanes is that the community's hardest hit sit hundreds of miles from the coast. That is weird, isn't it? Dozens of people in Georgia and South Carolina have already been confirmed dead, while at least 30 people in Buncombe County in North Carolina, where the city of Asheville is located, have already been confirmed dead as well. Where's the media coverage? Where are President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris? Now, again, they're asking these questions. The president flew over, but he didn't go down to see it. Kamala Harris didn't go down to see it. Unfortunately, the death toll is expected to rise as emergency crews finally reach impassable areas. The cumulative impact caused mudslides and historic flooding, while falling trees cut power to millions of Americans. Many of the Appalachian communities already forgotten, were cut off from the outside world. No electricity, no running water, no internet, no cell phone service. At one point, all four interstate entrances and exits into the city of Asheville were cut off. The flooding even wiped away entire communities. It is, again, the devastation, as we said, guys, is amazing. We have teams going in, but to get to Asheville now, you've got to go all the way up to the Tri-Cities and circle around and come in from behind. I guess you could go in through the Smokies and go in through Cherokee if you get past where the roads have broken out on I-40. But either way, it's a long journey. It's a hard journey. And there's people up there that need help right now. I praise the Lord for those that are going in with helicopters, and others. But again, you know, the sad thing to me, Greg, is that you see the dysfunction of our nation. Here we are giving away the resources of hardworking Americans to people that came here illegally in the first place, and then gave away someone else's resource. It's really robbery. You're stealing from the people who rightfully earned it and paid into it to give to those who broke into your house. And after they broke in, you gave them a bed and some money. And they're, and again, I believe we need to have compassion on everyone. But this is so wrong on every level. It's just wrong. And God disapproves of it. Some people try to say, you're supposed to be a Christian. Yeah, exactly. God says, this is not supposed to be happening. This is robbery, and you're stealing from the American people. Those who are here illegally, again, should go home and come back in a legal way. That's what the Bible says. And our government has squandered the money that's come in on those that, again, now those that need it can't have it. Before we move on, let me say this. That does not mean the church should not be compassionate to those that are here that are illegal and hurting and need help. Of course we're to be compassionate. We need to try to give them a hot meal, a place to stay, and help them go home. And then once we help them go home, help them come back in the right way if we really have a heart for them. But simply to condone crimes, it's wrong in God's eyes. And that may not be palatable to some, but that's the word of God.
All right, we visit Popular Mechanics for an article dated September 24th where they ask the question, are aliens secretly hiding deep underground? Pastor Mark has the answer.
Yeah, this is amazing, Greg, because notice it says such ancient or non-human beings could reside somewhere inside the earth or under the oceans, they say. I found that line intriguing because remember the videos that the government released recently of these UAPs, these unidentified things, whatever, and objects, and they were going dead in the ocean. So people are going, it must be aliens. Oh, I think it's just advanced technology that we have that nobody knows about. But either way, a controversial academic paper recently shook up the study of unidentified anomalous phenomenon, UAPs, previously known as UFOs, by looking beyond the most common explanation for flying saucers in the skies. It's interesting to me, Greg, that the government aren't calling them UFOs, unidentified flying objects. They're calling them UAPs, which means unidentified anomalous phenomena.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like we know what it is, but we can't, we're not just going to lie and call it UFOs. Yeah. We know what it is. We're not going to tell you. Again, this is from like these major universities. We're talking about Harvard, published in June 2024 in the journal Philosophy and Cosmology. The article generated plenty of attention with a title of title as lengthy as it was shocking. Here's the title.
Okay.
The Crypto-Terrestrial Hypothesis, a case for scientific openness to a concealed earthly explanation for unidentified anomalous phenomena.
Say that three times
exactly.
Fast.
Exactly. The theories within the document's 42 pages, which was just to say, just for the title, reject common pop culture explanations for UAPs in favor of new ideas ranging from the existential to the spiritual.
Ooh.
And I do believe, Greg,
I think we're hitting on something.
I do believe there is demonic wisdom being given behind the scenes that is now being used.
Yes.
In their work, the team ponders if the strange objects and crafts spotted in our skies could contain a form of ancient, highly advanced human civilization predating ours that has stuck around to observe us. They wonder if we're seeing vessels containing an intelligent species that evolved on Earth apart from humans, such as possible intelligent dinosaurs, who hide away from direct contact. So we have dinosaurs now. That's the aliens. They're smart dinosaurs. That is just the weirdest thing. Such ancient or non-human earthly. Why would you even think that? That's like some little kid. Hey, I got a cool idea. It's dinosaurs. And they're like super smart. And they're taking over. Ah! Anyway, such ancient or non-human earthly beings could reside somewhere inside the earth or under the oceans. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Or on some distant planet. Either way, the authors openly wonder if UAPs... told humans from the future, or rather hold humans from the future, looking to study their own history and avoiding identification for fear of damaging timelines. Finally, and perhaps most daring, their writing takes time to incorporate the theological wondering if our proposed aliens are really, get this, a breed of earthbound angels. Fallen angels.
Fallen angels.
I believe that is what much of this UFO phenomena is, I think, is demonic. So the fact that they said it could be angels, you know what I think it is? We call them demons. They're fallen. A third of them fell with Satan. And I think that there is technology that we do now have, but I also think there is a demonic influence that's involved in all of it.
I think you're spot on, Pastor Mark.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I was gonna. I was. I'm sorry. The dramatic pause was
that
the
dramatic
article,
pause.
We have
was
no time, right?
We have no time.
Okay. Well, that's just again the good news. I'll read one thing. Rockstar plans to keep sharing faith message at concerts. It's just about a rock star that's sharing Jesus. I'm not sure how effective that is.
But you know, I don't know. You can read the article online.
I hope the band is really not bad because then it's kind of worse. But either way, I hope there's something good. And either way, that's the good. The good news though that we have for you is this: Jesus loves you. He died for you. And right now, regardless of whether or not you've ever given your life to him, you can change that right now. If you'd go to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I acknowledge that you are the only one that can save me. You died for my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me. I repent. I give my life to you. If you pray that from your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. And we invite you to do that today. Jesus is waiting with his arms open wide for you. Respond to him.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark. We will be off next week. We will have a Signs of the Times episode. I don't know. Do you remember what it's going to be?
I do, but not good to say right now.
That's okay. Important thing for you to know is that we will be back live in two weeks.
Yes, we will.
To talk about more Signs of the Times
and
right
on the air
here
next week. On the air next week
on WIM.